9:05. Welcome back. Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO on an open line Friday. You can listen online, KFYO.com. And, of course, with the Radio Pup app, you can listen to the show wherever you travel. Absolutely free to download Radio Pup. Search for KFYO, and you can listen to all of our programming, Rush, Hannity, this show, everyone here on KFYO. Joining me in studio right now, our weekly chat with Brandon Darby of Breitbart, Texas. Go to Breitbart.com, click on Breitbart, Texas, and you can read some of the stories that they have on there. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chad.
Appreciate you coming in today. Of course, last week you were out of town, back in town this week. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed on Breitbart, and this is something that has not only been this week, but it may be a theme that I'm noticing. There are a lot of stories about what's going on the border.
Well, yeah, you know, that's over the last year and a half or so. You got to remember on Breitbart, you know, Andrew Breitbart, and since his death, subsequently the site, we generally report on about half of what you want to hear about, mm-hmm. and about half of what we report on is what we want you to hear about.
Right.
So we got tired of the notion, and it's not a wholesale attack on illegal aliens but we got tired of the notion that everyone who came here was a valedictorian. And because we knew it's just not the facts, you know, so we decided that we were going to report more on issues around the border. And once we got into that, we began to realize that there are so many issues that Americans are just not aware of.
Yeah. Well, that Texans are not aware of that just, you know, I think even people throughout the state, even closer to the border, they may not be aware of. There was a story last week, I think it was last week, about bandits that were on the border that are attacking people who are coming over.
It's insane. And, you know, here's the rundown of what's going on the border. You have men and women who serve, and they do, and I call it service. They serve and risk their lives in the U.S. Border Patrol. Mm-hmm. They are out there, usually alone. There are areas in each sector of the U.S.-Mexico border, including each sector of the Texas-Mexico border, where they cannot even radio for backup. Okay, the people who are the politically appointed leadership of their organization, their parent organization, CBP, Customs and Border Protection, oftentimes are very politically motivated against the Border Patrol. And so you have the Border Patrol under constant attack. These are men and women, remote areas on the border, not in safe situations, constantly being attacked, dealing with cartels and coyotes and all of this horrible stuff. We reported yesterday there was a case where, once again, a Border Patrol agent was out there alone. He tried to apprehend an illegal alien. The illegal alien attacked him. They got in a fight. The illegal alien took his firearm, shoved it in his gut, and tried to pull the trigger, but it had jammed.
Wow.
Because of, I guess it was the in the commotion, or maybe he was holding it or pulling back the slide, and they were fighting. I mean, imagine that scene. And this is something that happens all the time. You know, we reported recently on Robert Rosas Jr., who in 2010 was killed by a group of illegal aliens who came across the border. He was out there alone. They lured, trapped, and killed him to steal his night vision goggles. And then Breitbart, Texas, actually I was the one to break it, finds out one of these illegal aliens was actually on supervised release. Mm. So he had been taken into custody by the U.S. The U.S. chose not to prosecute him for illegal reentry, and they let him go on supervised release. He goes back to Mexico. He came over and murdered a Border Patrol agent who otherwise would not be murdered if it weren't for political motives within the U.S. Attorney's Office, not to be ugly to those men and women who serve in that agency. But there were some political motives. They let him go, and now we have a dead Border Patrol agent because of it.
Yeah, and these are very important stories and stuff that I think is sadly not known by a lot of people out there. And I think it's good that you are bringing some light into this. Do you think that, you know, maybe the more knowledge people have on what's going on the border, that they eventually will get fed up with what's going on? I mean, nationally you hear we've got to stop illegal immigration. We have to stop illegal immigration. But no one talks about these type of stories.
Well, here's the deal. You had a situation recently where you had a prominent Democrat in Lubbock. I believe she was running for, who was it who did it? It was either the woman running for lieutenant governor, or it was a woman running for senator to challenge Cornyn. And she said that stories of violence along the in the border communities and in Mexico border towns were overhyped. They're not overhyped at all. You're looking at a situation where since 2006, okay, 2006, right? You have had somewhere between 40 to 80,000 people killed. You have more of a chance of dying at the U.S.-Mexico border, you know, just south of the border, than you do if you're in Afghanistan. Hmm. Walking through northern Mexico, you know, you have more of a chance of being killed than if you walk through Afghanistan. Yeah. That says something. And for people to say that that doesn't, you know, there are patterns I began to see. So what I did, this is something I encourage everyone to do who's writing or blogging or wanting to understand news. Go to the FBI's website and sign up for the press releases from them, right? For about every crime that's done. Sign up for that. It's going to give you a whole list of other things to sign up for. Sign up for those two on your emails. Get the emails from them. And what you're going to begin to see is a pattern emerge. There's a pattern where any large-scale methamphetamine operation in the across the entire United States, who is involved in it? It's usually a Mexican national. And it's not because all people here are evil. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm telling you is that the cartels are sending Mexican nationals across our porous border to run drug operations in the U.S. I reported several months ago, maybe 6 months ago, on a number of issues that arose in the Bakken region, you know, because of an oil boom, right? You have an oil boom in the northern United States. And then there were a number of relationships to Washington State where there were a lot of methamphetamine operations going on, a lot of people showing up dead, and they were Mexican nationals leading these operations. And the U.S. Attorney's Office finally admitted, yes, cartels are sending their own people to run these operations. Well, now, if people in Texas don't think that affects them, like, what are we having right now in West Texas? Can you get a motel room right now in Midland? It's hard to get a motel room in Sweetwater, even though because of its proximity to Midland. Yeah. So we're having an oil boom. So what happens when you have that kind of boom? People, you have girls, sex trade, methamphetamines. These are the kind of issues that, so who moves in? Cartels move in, just like they have in other regions of the country. And that is a relationship and an oncoming problem that I don't think anyone's really reporting on.
Yeah. Visiting with Brandon Darby, Breitbart, Texas. We need to take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I have one more segment. We've got a lot of more news to cover with Brandon Darby of Breitbart, Texas. Go to Breitbart.com. Click on Breitbart, Texas. We'll be right back. Chad Hastie's show, News Talk 790 KFYO on an open line Friday. Brandon Darby, managing director over at BreitbartTexas.com, Breitbart.com, and then /BreitbartTexas. You can just go to Breitbart and click on Breitbart Texas. Breitbart Texas has been announced now for quite a few weeks. What's the reception you're getting across the state and from other organizations?
Well, one thing I'm learning is that Texans as a whole either don't use Twitter. You know, it's a really bizarre situation because you don't have a lot of people commenting as many as I'd like and not as many people tweeting, but you have a lot of people sharing on Facebook, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And the traffic has been really good. So I know that people are interested in what we're doing. So the reception is, it depends, you know, like, I think that a lot of folks are excited about it, but I also think that there are a lot of mainstream Republicans who are not so excited about it. You know, we've gotten a lot of grief over people say, well, I thought you were supposed to go after the left and the Democrats because you're Breitbart. And it's like, well, we're here to go after progressive corruption and progressive efforts that are the left of center efforts to control our lives. And unfortunately, what we're finding in Texas is that a lot of that comes from people with an R after their name.
Well, it's probably because, and something that, you know, you've probably noticed as well, it's pretty hard to get elected as a Democrat in the state. So you have, I think, a lot of Democrats wind up running as Republicans. And they try to say, they go through the talking points as best they can to try to convince voters that they really are a conservative or a Republican. Then once they get elected, they don't do anything. You know, they don't do anything that would resemble what a conservative would in office.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, even now living in Lubbock, I'm unfortunately don't get to be here very often because I'm traveling. I just in DC, or, you know, my travel schedule, like mm-hmm. just from talking with me. But even just living in Lubbock and looking at just trying to acquaint myself with what is happening here. Almost everyone here has to be a conservative. They have to be. If you want to get elected, you better be in favor of guns and you better talk about the great state of Texas and you better be patriotic. But when I look at some of what's going on here, just on a peripheral level, you have some very progressive left of center efforts to turn Lubbock into an area that's not as friendly to Republicans or not as friendly to right of center people, conservative people.
Yeah.
I was looking at this thing. What is it? Lubbock, imagine Lubbock together.
Right.
I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, I'm looking into it and I'm like, no, this is not good. This is not a good situation. That this is an effort to, again, to create and attract people to Lubbock from areas that are predominantly Democrat and predominantly progressive. Mm-hmm. And that's not good stuff. That's just what I'm seeing looking at it from the periphery. It's the same thing you see across the board everywhere in the U.S. and what they do, to small cities and small towns that are typically have conservative values. So even in Lubbock, you have this going on where there are a number of people who would probably claim to be conservative, and they're not acting like conservatives.
Do you think that is based on just that Texas is that conservative or seems as though it's that conservative state, or do you think it's also a mixture of complacency and people just going, it's fine. You know, West Texas conservative. Texas is conservative. Texas is a Republican state. We're going to be okay. We don't need to worry about getting out there and doing research on candidates. We don't need to worry about even going and voting.
Well, I think a lot of us we're conservatives, and a lot of that is because look at most of our lifestyles. Mm-hmm. You know, in Austin, you have a lot of people who are graphic designers or who can show up at the office when they want or who can, you know, you have a lot of lifestyles that might lend more towards liberalism. But I think in West Texas in particular, you have a lot of lifestyles where we're at work all day. We get home. We have our family. Who wants to spend 2 hours on the internet every night reading and researching? No one wants to. Mm-hmm. So it's complacency. People don't understand, I think, in Texas that there are big time Democrat dollars coming into this state to turn this state blue. They're not going to come to you and say, you know, you have Battleground Texas says, we're here to turn the state blue. You know, we're here to turn the state left. We're here to make sure the state is like resembles what Barack Obama wants it to be. But most of the things that are really damaging, the dangerous things, it's what goes on when you don't realize they're doing it. Yeah. You know, so Battleground Texas, I think a lot of that is just a big diversion. You know, it's a big diversion to get people to focus on them and not think about the other efforts going on. But make no mistake about it. Putting light rail in a community, in a city that has, or anything resembling light rail in a city that does not have the population density to support it. You know,
yeah.
that is not a conservative move.
No,
that is not a conservative move. And so I think people don't realize the efforts that are underway and the amount of, you know, Jeremy Byrd, who's heading Battleground Texas, right? He was one of Barack Obama's senior people in his reelection campaign.
Yeah.
And these people know what they're doing, and they're going to say, look over here. We're trying to turn you blue. And then while you're not looking, the other people, most of them are going to have R's after their name. They're going to be Republicans. They're going to come in. And they're going to actually do things that actually do turn it blue, because you start making Lubbock attractive for people from San Francisco to move here, you know, and resembling what they have there. And people will move here, and eventually the state will not be red. And when the state isn't red, what happens? We'll never have another Republican elected in the White House again if we lose Texas.
Yeah.
So there's some significant issues that people really do need to pay attention to. And it's people like me, people like you, and that's our job is to simplify this stuff, find it, simplify it, explain it,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that people realize, you know, they can make the choice of what they want, but make sure they realize what they're actually choosing between.
Yeah. Talking about Breitbart, Texas, one of the big headline right now on the website is about education. And this is something that y'all have focused on. Some of your writers have focused on the last, I think, 2, maybe 3 days have been about the, you know, kind of the grassroots progressive background inside education.
That's right. We at you know, here's what we do. We come in, and that's why they don't call me the editor, even though I am an editor. I am the senior editor of Breitbart Texas. They don't call me an editor. They call me the managing director, because what we do is really news is a small part of what we do. It is a significant part, but it's not the only thing we do, right?
Sure.
Like our deal is to put our heads together and organize and think of what needs to be addressed in the state, right? Well, education is one of those deals. So we hired a woman named Meryl Hope, who's a wonderful writer. You can read her pieces on Breitbart Texas right now. And her sole job is to focus on education in the state of Texas, whether that be from corruption in small districts, which she's written about, or whether it be on larger efforts, or whether it be on Common Core. You know, in Texas, we don't have Common Core, mm-hmm. but we have, and a lot of people don't realize what Common Core is, and it's such a complex issue, but basically you have federally led education. You have Barack Obama and his political appointees deciding how they want to educate your children. And that's not a good thing, right? My book might be in yours. It's not in mine. I don't want that for my little girl, right? So we don't have that in the state of Texas, but we have things that call themselves different names, but do the same stuff, right? So that's where we decided we needed a full-time writer to really go after, education in the state of Texas. And so what you have here is you have another so-called grassroots group trying to influence education in the state of Texas. We got into who their funders were, and what we found out was there was a lot of big name left of center funders. So again, it's something that sounds good to mom and pop and everyone in the PTA, but when you get behind what's really there, it's all left funders.
Do you think, you know, one of the things that, you know, doing this show and talking to different people, there are a lot of folks who don't focus on what's going on in schools. They don't focus on the school board. They're not focusing on education and what's really being taught out there. Do you think that is a way that where if people will get more involved in what's going on, that's a way to stop this move to the left in the state? Because Battleground Texas, I'm pretty sure that they wouldn't mind influencing a few school boards out there.
Oh, exactly. So it's all about being aware and knowing what's going on. It's all about being aware and knowing what's going on and paying attention. You know, we try to simplify it. We try to put it out there. If you look at the way we write our stories, the first paragraph or two puts the basic gist of what's going on, and then the rest gets more detail if you have time for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what more folks need to do. They really, really, really need to pay attention to what's going on with their kids. My little girl, she goes to a local school district. I'm very happy with the local school district at kindergarten, but as she gets older, I don't know that I want her in public schools, even in this area, because even though they're public schools in this area, there are still a lot of things that public schools do that I really don't want my kid, you know, my child, I don't want my child taught how to test properly. I don't want that. I want my kid to learn. And so these are things that people really need to pay attention to. We don't pay attention to these things. As a state, I think we've gotten very, very complacent.
Any thoughts on we really didn't get into it last time you were on, but any thoughts on what happened during the last election?
The most recent?
Yeah.
You're talking about the primary election?
Right.
I have a ton of thoughts on what happened during the primary election. First off, I noticed that the New York Times and left media across the board, mm-hmm. Focused on Texas primary elections in a big way, which is kind of validates my point. Like, if you look at the dollars that are coming into the state and to Wendy Davis, where are they coming from? Most of them aren't coming from Texans.
No.
They're coming from across the country. So, I think that the national media focus is very telling, but I also think it's very telling to notice what they did. They took two cases where Tea Party candidates lost, grassroots candidate, real conservative candidates lost. And then they tried to say that basically Republicans were moving further left, when the facts are that the vast majority of the wins were the conservative candidates over the Republican left of center establishment. And so I think that it was very interesting. But I think overall it shows that the state's going much more conservative. All of these ultra conservative propositions on the primary mm-hmm. passed. You know, talking about ultra conservative, like expand concealed handgun carry places. They all passed. So I think that what it shows is that the state is beginning to wake up. And, you got to look at what Battleground Texas did. They came in and they said, okay, if we can get like 5% of the Democrats in each county to vote and the Republicans and the conservatives can't because they're complacent, then we're going to win elections.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I think it shows that we're starting to wake up.
Brandon Darby, Managing Director of Breitbart Texas. Go to Breitbart.com. Click on Breitbart Texas and read all the latest news. Lots of great stories. They're on Breitbart, Texas. Brandon, thank you very much.
Thank you.